Wow. Every time Easter comes, I get so happy. I get so happy to see all of you that sometimes it's been a while since I get to see you. It's a gift to our church to have you here today. But even more than that, it's a gift to God that you are here today, that you are acknowledging Him. I would just like to see this like this every Sunday. I'd like to have this gift every Sunday. I'd like to feel what I'm feeling right now every Sunday. And I know that some of you can't come from out of state over here, but some of you that are around here, this is your home, your house of worship, and God is happy to see you here today. Amen?
Amen.
And so am I. Hallelujah. Today's message, I would like to just let you in on that sermon title, because it's a party. It's a garden party. And this week, if you haven't noticed, since Thursday, I've been talking a lot about gardens, right? Today, we're going to talk about another garden. If you're like me, and some of you are, you like a story, a good story. How many of you like a good story? Good stories, right? I'm always trying to tell you a story. I love stories. And but there's one thing. Knowing the way a story ends might just suck all the joy out of it, the surprise out of it, right? And it's like hearing a joke that you have already heard. See, I tell jokes, believe it or not. And I tell them bad. I don't say them the way they're supposed to be, okay? So when I go over to Abdiel, Angelixa, and Yvette, that are sitting right over there, they go, uh-oh, here comes this guy who's going to ruin up the story or ruin the joke. So I tell the joke, and most of the time, they already heard it. So I tell them the story, and they don't laugh. It doesn't seem to be the same feeling. And it goes the same with stories that sometimes we already know. We just know what's coming next. Now, on Good Friday, we read scriptures that recounted the horrible death of Jesus Christ. But our passage today begins with quite a story, with quite a possibility. In the pre-darkness, Mary Magdalene comes with so much sorrow to the tomb where she hoped to go over and prepare the body of Jesus Christ, the burial procedures, the right burial procedures. But what she encounters, as you heard this morning, was so startling. Jesus' body was gone. It was gone. Mary assumes the worst. Okay, they have taken the body. Somebody broke into this tomb and they took the body of Jesus Christ. Well, now, I mean, who knows why somebody, and she was thinking about this, would steal the body of a famous teacher like Jesus Christ was. Now, actually, it has been known that in ancient times, a lot of potions and powders were sometimes made from the remains of famous people. I don't know if that's the case in this right here. I don't know if that's the case. But the problem that I'm trying to present here in this story is that we all know what comes next. You know what happened in the tomb. And you know what's going to happen now. And I would like all of you to pretend for a while. Can you do that? Somebody say amen. That you don't know how the story ends. That you are the one who is going to the tomb. That you are the one who is going to find that the tomb has no body of Jesus Christ in it. And forget about the next step. Just remember that you are pretending that you don't know. Oh, because familiarity, it does add some kind of insight. But like I said in the beginning, It can take away the surprise, the wow factor. And I think God wants to surprise you here today. Once again, my brothers and sister, let's say that we went to this tomb and the tomb is empty. Now, we all know that it's because Jesus walked out alive. Instead of thinking of it as a place of light and hope, let's imagine how it must have felt for Mary to go to this place where they had just rapidly wrapped around the body of Jesus and put him in there. And it was a tomb. How many of you have been in a cemetery when there's not much light? I'm not. Don't even pull your hands, you know. People might think you're strange. I know I will. But just imagine it. You're in next to a tomb. It's pre-dawn. And all of a sudden you come up with this surprise. And all of a sudden you too, who were looking for the body of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, where is it? Where is the body of Jesus Christ? Who has done something like this? Mary Magdalene was certain that somebody had broken in that day, had taken the Lord out of that tomb. And she was asking, where have they laid the body of my Savior? Where? She told the disciples too about what she saw. And now, I want you to continue to remember that we're pretending here, that we don't know how the story ends. Remember this. Jesus is risen, but we don't know that yet, okay? Everything gets a little crazy, and you see that the scripture talks about a lot of running around, the two disciples running around, going this way and that way. It would be like that if you would receive some kind of message like this. If it was your teacher that was taken away. So apparently, Mary comes back. Mary comes back to the tomb, and there it describes the place as a garden. She comes to a garden. Apparently, the surroundings of the tomb had a garden. Okay? And the garden is a powerful symbol in Scripture that we go to a lot. History begins where? In a garden. In the Garden of Eden. When our first parents were expelled from the Garden of Eden, a creature of light and fire, it is said that guarded the entrance so that no one may re-enter. A guard. Isaiah speaks of a garden that is well tended, but ended up overgrown with weeds, a symbol of God's people breaking the covenant. Now, here at this garden, next to the tomb, there were no guards. There is no guard near that tomb, yet it's something different. It's something powerful that's coming on. It's our own way to see that the real tree of life was there. Jesus Christ would be there at some point. A peaceful place where the resurrection is about to blossom. Where the resurrection, like these beautiful flowers here, are about to bloom. Hallelujah. It's a garden where real life emerges. But she didn't quite get it. Not yet. Sometimes we don't get it right away, at least. Go ahead and ask your neighbor, do you get it? Okay. She didn't quite get it. Mary replies, again, they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. And Mary sees those two angels. That's who she was talking to. That appeared. Now, things get really, really strange, right? And she didn't know where that body was. And still, I can almost feel her anxiety, her feeling hopeless. Where is the body of Jesus Christ? Mary then turns away from those two angels. And when she does, she sees another person. She mistakes with the gardener. She mistakes with the gardener, the one who takes care of the grounds that surrounded that tomb. And she still doesn't recognize the figure. But this is somebody who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus, who loved Jesus. And when that person said, "Mary," she immediately recognized the voice of her Jesus, and she said, "Rabboni," hallelujah. And then, though the evangelist doesn't really say this, something must have happened. I think maybe she hugged him, so happy, because the word says that Mary embraced Jesus. And Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me. Not hold on to me." And let's go back to thinking, why wouldn't I want to hold on to him? If only it's you, you're not gone. By the way, wow, you're risen. I want to hold on to you. Why? Why would Jesus say not to hold on at this time? Consider that the risen Jesus will be very present with other people that same day. He would be present with the people later that were and he'd made his good set of appearances. Jesus would appear in the upper room again. He makes appearances in places that were locked and people were afraid. Those disciples that were afraid. He makes a visit to those people that had unbelief. Hallelujah. He made visits to people that didn't think that he would be coming back. As the later story states, Jesus appears to all of them that were working. They went back to their own lifestyle, the ways that they used to be, the things that they used to do, the ones who were eating fish, the ones that were preparing breakfast, the ones that were present, the ones that were alive. They saw the Jesus that was alive. And perhaps the answer to what we should understand today lies on all this. The risen Jesus is not to be found in a sanctuary, in a resting place, in a gentle garden, in a place of beauty, in a place of tranquility. The risen Jesus wants to get out of the garden. But he wants us to help get that message out. Somebody say amen. Are you still with me?
Amen.
How many of you are alive today? Amen? Amen? All right. All right. He wants us to do this. The message of the resurrections belongs out in the world, my friends. It's good that we can talk about resurrection at church. It's good that we can celebrate. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's good that we can say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. But you know what? If it doesn't go outside the beauty of this cathedral here, it's nothing. It's just our story. But God wants this to be the story we share with the world. Hallelujah. The story concludes with Mary rushing off. Hallelujah. Now she received this, and notice that she got the news. She got it. Somebody say she got it. She got it, and she didn't stay there and get comfortable. Well, this is pretty good here. This garden is nice. Look at this garden. It's really, really nice. I'm going to stay here, and you could stay here, Jesus, with me. I'm not going to go anywhere. No, she just goes out and says, I'm going to go. I'm going to tell everybody that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. I think I will preach for another hour or so. Woo. All right, my friends. We have to understand this. We have to understand that at this garden, notice that there is no guard. Nobody in the way. We have to understand that there is a time that we have to start moving. So this is the story before us. We see people, we recount the stories. We see as Nicodemus saw, as the woman in the well saw, as Simon and Andrew and Nathaniel and those who actually said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And as they saw too, as the beloved disciples saw, as Mary Magdalene saw. Do you get it? Do you get it by now what I'm trying to say? This is too good of a news for us to keep to ourselves. My friends, are you ready to take the risen Jesus out of the garden and out to the world? Are you ready to do that, my friends? I see your smiles. Let me see those teeth. Come on, smile. Look into the big eyes of the pastor. Hey, if this is a cause of joy, for joy in your life, you have to come out of here today with that smile, showing all your teeth. Go out to the world, come out of the garden and tell people Christ is alive. Christ has risen. This is good news. I want you to know it. He's so alive. He's in me. I want you to have what I have. Hallelujah. My friends, this is the time for us to go running out. Not to hide, but to do our job. Are you ready to take this good news where people, you know, out there, it might not look as beautiful as it does in here, not everywhere. But are you ready to go out to those people that, like we saw, even his disciples, they were locked up, afraid. Some were with unbelief. Are you ready to go out to the doubtful? Are you ready to go out to the ones who have questions? Where they work, where they live, where you work, where you live, hallelujah. Are you ready to do that? There's no angel holding you back. There's nobody that is trying to tie you down. Just do it, my friends. Go. Run. Proclaim Jesus is risen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus is risen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is your time. I'm gonna throw that ball. Somebody prepare to catch it. Come on, get your two hands up. Two hands up. Two hands up, everybody. Ready? And you're gonna catch this. There you go. The ball is on your side now. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? Are you gonna let this kid, this pastor over here, this handsome pastor, hallelujah? This amazing man, hallelujah. I'm getting a little too full of myself, dear. Are you going to let me do all this? It's not fun that way. Kidding aside here, my friends, I'm not the only evangelist here. God didn't just call pastors to preach the good news, to tell about the good news. He talked about us too. It's all of us. As a matter of fact, if you think you're a Methodist, if you are a Methodist, we think about the universal minister, okay? We have to think about that. You're called. You are called. You know? I like that. You're called. Yes, you. You're called. Soldier. You're called. And it goes beyond your call to be a soldier. You're God's soldiers. We're all God's soldiers. Hallelujah. So, do something with it and run with it. and tell the world that Jesus is alive. Indeed, he is alive. May God bless you all.